And so for me, I want to make sure that in my life, personal life, not as a pastor only, but as a husband and notice, and with my kids and my grandkids as a grandfather, that I'm teaching them by example what I'm doing in the kingdom of God. Not to get the glory, but to teach them so they can do the same. So they can be good stewards of what God's given to them.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. For many years now, Raul has tried to be a trustworthy steward of all that the Lord has given him. Setting a good example for his children and grandchildren has been a top priority, and he's used his gifts for God's glory. For a free DVD of Raul's testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. As Raul continues our series centered on sharing the gospel, you'll get a challenge to consider how you can maximize your strengths and talents to invest in others. Stay with us to see that your resources and abilities have come to you from God, not for your own personal gain, but for the building of His eternal kingdom. As a Christian, you're a servant of the Lord, and you've been called to a life of faithfulness. Let's join Raul Reese now in Matthew chapter 25 for the lesson, Investing in God's Talents.
I want to share this morning something that is very important for the body of Christ, and that is investing in God's talents. Investing in God's talents that God gives to us. We're responsible as servants of the Lord to make sure that we are responsible, but also wise in the things that we spend on, the things that we buy, the things that we do, and the kingdom of God. And as servant of the Lord, as I was reading this whole chapter, the indication of that inward condition as believers that we have in knowing Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, one thing between the world and us, the Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit is here. And when the Holy Spirit convicts me, there has to be a change, a transformation. Because in the parable, you're going to see that the parable here is not only Jesus speaking to three people. But then there are those that do not invest in the kingdom of God. And what happens? They lose everything. But here we have also the first place. Let me read it. I wrote this down. The first place from this parable that is professing Christians have received something from God. What have you received from God that is given to you? Secondly, we learn that many are bad stewards. But we have the privilege of not only having mercy that God's given to us and the grace of God, but helping people that are really in need. Thirdly, we learn that all professing Christians must one day, notice one day, have a reckoning with God. A reckoning with people, forget that. It's going to be a reckoning day. Fourthly, we learn that true Christians will receive an abundant reward in the great day of reckoning. A great reward. He says, we learn that all unfruitful members of the body of Christ, the church, will be condemned and cast away in the day of judgment. Now, I didn't make that up. This is in the scriptures. We have these talents entrusted to us. We're charged with it. But the responsibility that God has given to me personally, and then also, one day, not only we're going to be judged, but also the talents that He gives us are loaned to us. And the way to use them, how effective we were with this money in building, listen, in building your kingdom, building His kingdom. His kingdom that He has. The parable here has nothing to do with salvation. It is, again, our stewardship, house managers. That's what the word means. That is involved here in this parable. The word talents is an expression that has been curiously turned aside for its original meaning. The expression given. And I think that when you look at that in your own life, the gifts, influence, money, knowledge, health, strength, memory, afflictions, privileges as members of the body of Christ, the advantage God's given to us to become possessors. the gifts and the talents that he gives to each one of us individually. I wrote this down. How much has God blessed you with this day? And are you being wise in your investments into the kingdom of God? Very important. And then I wrote this down also. Knowing and recognizing that one day, not only I will stand in the presence of the Lord, but also I'll be at the bema seat of Christ. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver will be thrown into the fire that we remember. Let's look at the first point here, the parable and the talents. Chapter 25, verse 14, the Lord's journey in a far country. Now the steward here, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives a parable. He says this, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants, plural, and entrusted, notice, and entrusted to them his property. His property. When the Lord came, he was born. He lived for 30 some years in Nazareth. 3.5 years he had his ministry. And then he died and rose again from the dead. He went back to heaven. From the Mount of Olives, he went up to heaven, and he said that he would come again. The angel said, why are you guys looking up? The same Jesus is coming back in the same way. When he comes back at the second coming, is not only to judge, but to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. And during that second coming, when he comes, the Bible says he's going to make a separation between the goats and the true lambs that will go into the kingdom age. This is very important in the parable. That we understand that this manager, the Lord, he left. He's coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to test our works. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3:11 through 15, he talks about the gold, silver, and wood, and hay he throws into the fire. And so for me, I want to make sure that in my life, personal life, not as a pastor only, but as a husband and notice, and with my kids and my grandkids as a grandfather, that I'm teaching them by example what I'm doing in the kingdom of God. Not to get the glory, but to teach them so they can do the same. So they can be good stewards of what God's given to them. Secondly, verse 15, the Lord's possessions entrusted to his servants. He goes on to say, verse 15, he says, and to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, to each one according, notice, to his own what? Ability. That immediately he went on his journey. So we see that the Lord here has entrusted his goods, gifts, abilities, responsibilities to who? To his servant. That's you and me. That's you and I. In the book of Ephesians 4:8, he says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He gives gifts in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, 5 gifts. He gives again in 1 Corinthians 12, another 9, and then Ephesians 4, 11 to 12, another 5, 21 gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the body of Christ. So there are many gifts that we can use in our lives, but you have to know what gift God's given. Don't covet other people's gifts. Don't do that. You'll get yourself in trouble. At this particular point, Christ here says 3 things about these verses. Number one, the Lord calls his own service, personal call. The word servant, you know, is a bondservant or a slave. There are ones who were be faithful and responsible to his service, and some that will be unfaithful to his service. These that are faithful, brought by him, they are his own, and they serve Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Secondly, responsibility. The Lord gave each servant a different portion of his goods after he looked at them. That is, each person was given a special talent, a gift, or responsibility to use that talent. And then thirdly, the Lord gave each servant according to his ability. Look at thirdly, the servant's investment carefully invested in verse 16 through 18. He says, and then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. So now he has 10 talents. And then likewise, he who had received 2 talents, he gained 2 more talents. But He who had received one talent went and dug a hole on the ground and he hid his Lord's money. Interesting. He had nowhere to invest it. He ended up getting judged. You see, the servant of the Lord not only treated his goods differently, not like the world, because these not only went back to work immediately, but they were faithful and diligent to what God had given to them. Diligent, which I thought it was pretty cool, because not only diligence, but faithfulness. Faithfulness, obedience is what God desires within each one of our lives. And you might not have a lot, but whatever you have, you see, it's not 10%, 20%, 30%, 50%. You can give a penny. If that's all you have, God will honor it. God doesn't want us to become beggars. He wants to understand that he's the provider of everything he gives to us. And then he says, fourthly, as we see here in verse 19, notice here the time factor. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came, settled accounts with them. Underline that. Accounts are going to be settled with the Lord. That's why it's important to be careful what I say, what I do, what I give. But the moment I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and went to Calvary Chapel and began to study God's Word, I've never, ever, ever failed to give to God what belongs to God. Even when we didn't have it, we gave to the Lord. See, a lot of people don't know our story. What God has done in our lives and what God continues to do in your life, my life. That the Lord, for you guys that are young here, man, he has such an incredible ministry for you in your lives. But you've got to align yourself with his will, not your will. It has to be his personal will. Because there's a day of reckoning that's going to come one day. And we see here that the time Christ returns, it will have been a long time that he's been gone. And we know that because it's already been 1900 years. People say, well, how do you know he's coming back? I know he's coming back. Not my time, his time. Well, how do you know today? If you leave today here, you're going to die today. Your time's up. The Lord came for you. But there is a day of reckoning where the Lord will come back at the second coming. There will be a 7-year tribulation period. Then not only God will come and judge, but Israel will be tried. And when at the end of the 7 years after Israel has been in Petra for the last 3.5 years, being protected by God, then he's going to judge those in 7 years. He's going to take the goats and the lambs. And what is he going to do? He's making a separation. Who's going to go into the kingdom age? Satan is put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years locked up. So I want to share with you today that you need to understand who you are. But most important, who is he? Because he said this, behold, I come quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, verse 1, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons are we to be in holy conversation and godliness? See, he warns us. If you're a Christian, he warns you who you are. See, one of the problems that I see as a pastor and as a teacher, there are a lot of people in churches, they come to church, but their lives don't change. There's no transformation. They hear the message, and they hear the message because they want to feel good. But because of the Holy Spirit, when I hear the message, there has to be a transformation. There has to be conviction. And if there's conviction, there has to be a transformation, a change. And that's why I constantly say, when you come here on Sunday morning, whatever, every service, you need to leave totally different, which means God's touched your life. When you leave here, you need to live the life that Christ has given to each one of us individually. Now, fifthly, the reward handed out now. Verse 20 to 23. And so he who received 5 talents, here comes now. He came and brought 5 other talents. You know, he invested, he's fruitful. Coming back to his Lord, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. Man, the Lord was so happy, so joyful to see that this person was obedient. He had vision. He had passion. And when he went out, he wanted to be a good steward. And he wanted to be fruitful in the things God has given to him. We need to be fruitful in what God has given to each one of us. In our homes, the cars that you have, your bank accounts, you've got market in the market. How do you know the market won't go broke today? And then what? It's had before. Don't put your trust in the banks or the actual market. Put your trust in the Lord. Let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord do a work just like he did with these guys. He goes on verse 21. He says, his Lord said to him, well done, a good and faithful servant. One day we're going to hear those words. You were faithful over, notice, few little things. If you're faithful in the little things, you were faithful in the few things, I will make you a ruler over many things. Isn't that cool? Over many things. And then he says this, enter into the joy of your Lord. Not ashamed. Walk right in with the joy of the Lord. Verse 22. Then he also had received 2 talents. He came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over, again, few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Being rewarded for the works that have done. We're not saved by works, but by faith. But in obedience, we bring true works by trusting the Lord. And you notice here that the experience that he has, or we have, in the first, second servant, they both acknowledge God's gifts of grace, and they were bold in approaching the Lord. And thirdly, they commanded the 2 servants that gave to them great, great rewards because of their what? Their integrity. Their integrity to the Lord. Look at verse 24 and 30, the final here, the conclusion, what he says. Then he who had received 1 talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So already this person is making excuses to get to the point, now you know why I didn't what I didn't put my actual money into stewardship. I didn't invest in the kingdom of God. Then he says, verse 25, and I was afraid. Afraid of what? And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. I mean, think about it, how many people within the church are just like this person here. He says, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And then check this out. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Wicked and lazy servant, which means he didn't like to work. He just kind of kicked back. He was wicked in the way he lived his life. And the Lord says here, he says to you, what answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown. I mean, what's the matter with it? Don't you remember? Don't you know? I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Notice what he says to this person. He says, you should know that because that's what I do. Verse 27. So you ought to have deposited money with bankers. You see, nothing wrong with investing. But you have to work in order to invest. You have to obey God's word in order to invest. I invest to make what? To make a percentage so that percentage I can use for myself or that percentage I can give to somebody else. I love that. Somebody else. He goes on to say again, and on my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. You see? With interest. And then, therefore, because of all this, takes you back to the whole parable. Take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Now he has 11 talents. Make sure that you understand what he's saying here. He's taking it from him. He's going to give it to somebody else. Remember what he says to believers in the book of Corinthians again in chapter 3, 11 to 15? He says the Lord is going to sit there. He's going to put everything we've ever done in the fire, wood, hay, stubble, gold, and silver. And whatever burns in the fire, that's cool. But whatever comes out, that's your reward. And if nothing comes out, you'll be saved by the skin of your teeth, because salvation is a great gift of God to us. A gift of God to each one of us individually. So we are going to be tried. Then he says this, verse 29. For to everyone who has more will be given and will have an abundance. Notice that. In abundance. When God blesses you in abundance, it's so awesome. Because even though what you may have and you give to the Lord, I love that when you don't have it and you give to the Lord, God honors that. Because you give him with your heart. When you have something and you give to the Lord, that's cool, but are you giving sacrificially? That which you don't have? Something that is going to cost you to give to the Lord? And I think that when I was reading this little verses, I was thinking, wow, Lord, you know, here is my life. This is what I really want to do. So I can end up, when you come again, I can hear the word, a good and faithful servant coming in.
We hope you've been challenged today to be intentional about using your gifts and talents for the good of God's kingdom. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching titled Investing in God's Talents. We'd also like to tell you about a resource with additional encouragement to make the most out of your life for the Lord. Simply titled The Call, this 5-message audio pack from Raul explores how you've been set apart by God to act as a living testimony of His love. You'll see that when you choose to align your goals and priorities with God's perfect will, He can work through you to bless others in meaningful ways. Act now to order Raul's inspiring 5-CD series, The Call. To make your purchase, visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165 and we'll send you this audio collection for a gift of $20 or more. That number again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We invite you to take advantage of our many resources as well. To keep biblical teaching at your fingertips, download our Somebody Loves You app to your iPhone or Android. This app also features an easy reading plan to help guide your personal study of God's Word. And be sure to join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program exploring how to honor God in today's complex world. You can also download podcasts of all of these programs through Spotify or iTunes. And as you seek God's wisdom and direction for your life, we're here to equip you with the truth of Scripture. We value your feedback on how we're doing, and we'd also love to pray for you as well. So when you get in touch with us, let us know how we can do that. Somebody Loves You Radio is funded solely through listeners like you, and your tax-deductible donations help keep us on the air. Be sure and join us again next time for more from this series, exploring how full surrender to the Lord can have a powerful, eternal impact on others. You'll be pointed to Jesus' example of selfless sacrifice. Here's Raul now once again with a closing comment.
And then he says this, but from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. And then he says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are the words of Jesus, not my words. Jesus covers 3 points here that we see discussion. Number one, the servant's reason for not using the gifts entrusted to him. He misunderstood God. He said that the Lord was too demanding. He understood, but he did not want to be obedient to what God said. Secondly, God's reasons for condemning the servant, the unprofitable servant, was wicked again and slothful, lazy. Then he says this, his responsibility was taken away from him and given to one who proved to be most faithful to the Lord. He was cast into utter darkness. Matthew 8:12 says this, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In conclusion, I want to leave you with one verse, powerful verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's what Jesus said.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.